We come now to our third lesson on the subject of Ichabod. We are seeing this in 1 Samuel chapter 4. I'm not going to read the whole portion we did earlier in the second lesson, but we're going to start with verse 19 of 1 Samuel chapter 4. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child near to be delivered. Now this is after, in verse 18, that Eli receives the information that the Ark of God is taken, and he is so heavy, he's 98 years old, he falls off backwards off the bench he's sitting on, and he broke his neck. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings of the Ark of God was taken, first thing that the Bible mentions, you need to be careful and read the Bible with the Holy Spirit interpreting it for you. The first thing that we hear about her was she heard the tidings that the Ark of God was taken, comma, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead. She bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. This thing was so strenuous about the Ark of God, it brought her into labor. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But that didn't mean anything to her. It was making you understand that it was not the death of her father-in-law or the death of her husband or even the birth of a son that was primary in this woman's consciousness. It says, "But she answered not, neither did she regard it." You've had a boy. You don't say nothing. We're trying to encourage her. The women are trying to encourage her. They see that she's slipping fastly into death. So they're bringing up things that they think is those things that will encourage her. And we find out that that wasn't what was on her mind. And she named the child Ichabod. The only thing that she responded to when they said, "You have had her son," was to name him something that was on her heart. What was it? "The glory of God is departed." That's what the word Ichabod means. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed." That's what his name means. The glory is departed from Israel because the Ark of God was taken, comma, and, as if it were, and also, and secondarily, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. Then the Holy Spirit brings it again to our attention in verse 22, in case you missed it. And she said, "The glory of God is departed from Israel, for the Ark of God is taken." That is the central theme of our third message, that her mind was upon the glory of God. To her, the Ark of God was synonymous with the glory of God. Not so with Eli. He doesn't mention the glory. He is a priest, but he leaves no message behind for Israel. But she is a priest's wife, and she brings a message and saying, "Let me tell y'all where we are and what this means. I'm going to name the child Ichabod, and you're going to have to write it down in the books." You know, they were very studious about writing who was the son of, who was the son of, who was the... You're going to have to write this name down in your books, and I want you to understand what it is, and I want it to be published and people to know it. And here we are, thousands of years later, in a Gentile world, way over here in the Isles Afar Off. That's what the Bible calls America, the Isles Afar Off. Here we are, separated from her in time and in space, and dear soul, in awareness. I don't have a clue as how that woman had to live. I don't understand how it was to go to church in a tent. I have attended tent meetings, but I'm talking about what she went through. But here we are, we're reading it. And it says in 1 Samuel 4:22, "And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. Therefore, I'm going to name my baby boy Ichabod. That's what this message is all about. She was with child. Now, it says that she was with child. Verse number 19. His daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child. Now, she didn't just suddenly become with child. This happened 9 months ago. But listen, how this woman had to persevere. Even though in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 22, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. What a woman this was. She knew that her husband was using the idea of him being a priest's son to have illicit sexual relationships with the women that came to the tabernacle door. But she was still faithful to it. And 9 months before this happens, she has a relationship with her husband who had been laying with other women. What a woman. She's faithful unto him. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, as I sneeze. Watch it not come now since I said that. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 12, or it'll sneak up on me. Not the scripture, but the sneeze. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 12. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not. I have to believe that's Phinehas. This woman had a husband that believeth not. If he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. What a godly woman she was. She was putting up with all of this, and he was pleased to live with her, so she didn't leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. What does that mean? It means he's going to have to hear what she says about various things in life pertaining to her belief in God. Well, you don't do that because, you know, mama, she don't believe that. He's sanctified by what she believes. Does that mean that he's actually purified? It didn't say purified. It said she's sanctified. If he's going to get anything from the Lord, she's going to have to stay with him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. If the Christian leaves the one who's an unbeliever, there ain't no chance that unbeliever is going to hear anything from God anymore. If they're ever going to witness a true Christian, and let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's because the Christian is going to remain in the house. He said, else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. It doesn't mean that they're born again, that they're saved, that they're pure. It means that there is no light of God, no salt of the earth presented in their in their presence unless the Christian remains there. He said, but if the unbelieving depart, I didn't divorce him, he left me. I didn't divorce her, she left me. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. I understand that your husband left you. Yep. How are you doing? I've got great peace over it. Why? Because I didn't do anything to make him leave. I didn't do anything to make her leave. They left because they couldn't bear the light. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than evil, but rather than the light because their deeds are evil. If I'm going to be able to sin like I want to, I got to get away from that godly woman. If I want to hang around with other men and go drinking and take drugs or whatever, I got to get away from that godly man. So Phinehas' wife was an unsung champion of the faith, I believe, because of 1 Samuel 4 and verse number 22. She saw the glory of God. And we saw that in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 7. If you are seeking for the glory, God will grant you eternal life. That's what it says. Eli is in trouble. I believe that Eli is in the pits of the damned right now. I believe that he's been burning in hell for all these centuries. Why? Because he had no awareness, no desire for the glory of God. What is sin? Coming short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Where are we going to find that glory? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. John 1:14. What is that Word that became flesh? The Word that was God. What part of the Trinity became flesh and dwelt among us? The Son of God, Jesus Christ. And as He lives for us, He comes to live in us, and thank God, by the mercy of God and His grace, He comes to live by us to other people as they see Christ in us. So here we have a woman who's seeking for glory. And Romans 2:7 says, I grant them eternal life. But those who do not seek for glory but are contentious, and Jesus got on to them, as we read you in Matthew 23, that you thought that the ark of God wasn't nothing but a piece of furniture. So you were upset about the piece of furniture being lost, because now, what am I going to do? Are they going to fire me because I can't go in there and offer any sacrifices there with the ark of God? Why did you take it into battle to start with? Phinehas and Hophni just wanted to use the furnishing to say, we're marching, you know, in front of this great army. Well, you marched 20,000 of them into their death because the Philistines killed 20,000 footmen of the army of Israel and took the Ark of God as well. So let's get back to Phinehas, Phinehas' wife. All right, 1 Timothy 2, let me remind you of this. Verse 25. 1 Timothy 2:25, the last sentence in this verse. Notwithstanding, Phinehas and Hophni did not hearken unto the voice of their father, listen, because the Lord would slay them. Because the Lord would slay them. They were so wicked that God determined that He would remove them, but He would do it in His time. This shows you that it was God's will that Phinehas and Hophni, his brother, and his daddy should all die on the same day. And that Phinehas' wife, who had 9 months before had intimate relationship with her husband, even though he had been having intimate relationships with the women that came to the door of the tabernacle as he promoted religious prostitution. She stayed with it and did what God said to do because she had an eye for the glory of God. Because she said, the glory is departed, for the ark of God is taken. Now, Eli said the ark is God of God when he heard the ark of God is taken. He didn't say it, he heard it. It shook him up so bad he lost his balance and fell off the bench and broke his neck. But it had nothing to do with the glory of God. It doesn't say that he had anything to do with the glory of God. He didn't leave a message. He was supposed to be a priest that gave the message. He didn't. He was concerned about his religious performance. And that's what some of the Pharisees said. We've got to do something about this Jesus. or else the Romans will come and take away our position. They weren't worried about Jesus Christ being the eternal Son of God. They knew that somebody, some man, someday would come and be Messiah. Well, why not this man? You're blaspheming because you make yourself to be God. You better investigate that, because you've been told for thousands of years that Messiah would come and he would be a human being and he would be birthed among you. Here he is. But they couldn't receive it. Why? Couldn't receive the glory. Dear soul, if you are born again, if you are a true child of God, you better thank God every day, whether you understand it in your canoodle or not. It has happened that some way or another, your inner man, your spiritual consciousness have been made aware and has been emblazoned by the glory of Jesus Christ. The glory of God is his uniqueness. No other creature, no other being, no other thing, no other event has that glory. God alone is glorious. And dear soul, if God has shed the beams and the light of his glory upon you, he has brought you into eternal life. Romans 2:7. I keep saying that. I sure do hope that's the right reference. Romans chapter 2. Yes. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, God will render to him eternal life. So you say, I don't understand it. I don't think I saw the glory. I wasn't smitten down like Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus. You may not have been physically, but dear soul, there's no doubt about it. You can't know God except knowing him in his glory. If you know a God who is not glorious, then that ain't God. So you may not understand it, but you need to receive it and understand that God is more glorious than anybody and anything, because glory is his uniqueness. And how do you pray? Our Father which art in heaven. Right. That's how it starts off. How does it end up? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the, did you say it? And the glory forever. That's how you pray. To God be the glory. He chooses us as weak things and base things and things which are despised. Yea, hath God chosen. Why? In order that no flesh should glory in my presence. My glory I will not share with anyone. He will expose you to it. He will reveal it to you. And by that you come to believe. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. John 2:11. So we come to have an awareness of God's glory. There's something different about you. Yeah, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. What did it? God revealed himself in his glory to me. And the warming rays of God's glory and the redemptive rays of God's glory permeated my dark chambers, my heart with its dark chambers, and brought me out of death into life, brought me out of darkness into light, caused me to be able to understand and perceive. Now I see, I understand now. God has sent to us his Son, and with him hath given us an understanding. Why do you think the whole world creation in Genesis chapter 1 begins with God saying, let there be light, and there was light, and creation starts from there, but the sun, moon, and stars do not appear until the fourth day of creation. It can't be the sun, moon, and stars. The light that you see in the beginning of the creation is the light of the revelation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we see when God said, let there be light, and there was light, it's bringing forth the eternal Son of God and introducing him to the nothingness of non-existence and bringing everything into existence that had not existed before. You say, I can't understand that. I can't either, but it's true. I can't explain to you the glory of God. You either have it or you don't. You either know it or you don't. And this all, there's so many church members that are devoid of the glory of God, and you can't talk to them, and you can't get to them, and you can't preach to them. They don't want to hear it. They just got a form of godliness, and they're happy with it, and don't mess it up. Leave them alone with all of that that they are so enamored with. It is amazing. Her mind was on the glory. John chapter 16. Does the word of God have anything to say about a woman having a baby? Yep. It has a lot to say. Nicodemus was condemned because he didn't understand it. John chapter 16, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and mourn. Nope. Ye shall weep and lament. But the world shall rejoice. When Jesus Christ dies, it's going to break your heart, disciples, but the world's going to be happy. Got rid of him. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. The sorrow of the world worketh death, but God grants repentance unto life. Listen, the sorrow of God worketh life to you. Verse 21, John 16. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow. Phinehas' wife was in travail. She had sorrow because her hour is come. Naturally, she was going into those pains that poor women, bless their dear souls, have to go through to produce other human beings. Because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world, but not Phinehas' wife. That woman, while she's in travail and she's pushing and she's trying to get that baby out of her body, and the pain is so great and men cannot understand it, and it is so painful that she just wants to kill that husband that did this to her. But 10 minutes later, after the baby is born and they've cleaned it all up and bring the husband in, she said, look what I got, huh? Isn't this wonderful? And then when the child begins to grow up a little bit, and next thing you know, he or she, the child is walking, and she's saying, oh, my baby's growing up. We're going to have another one. What? You was wanting to kill me while you was in travail. But it says, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. That's the inspired word of God. She remembereth no more the anguish. Why? For joy that a man is born into the world. So we see that Phinehas' wife should have been joyful, but she wasn't. And the women said, a man has come into the world. You've had a boy child. She said, name him Ichabod. What's wrong with you, Miss Phinehas? You should be happy. You should be thrilled. There's people that would give anything to have a male child. She said, my heart and mind is not on the physical birth. My heart and mind is upon the spiritual death of Israel, because God's glory hath departed from Israel. She was grieving over that which she saw. What? What did we read you in 1 Samuel 4:22? That the ark of God was taken, and therefore the glory of God had departed. That's where her mind was. And she said, the glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. She's not all upset because that dadgum Phinehas, bless his heart, I would hate him, I despise him, he was laying with other women in the temple door. I know he was doing it. Nope. She wasn't saying, well, poor old Eli, bless his heart, I tried to put him on a diet, tried to get him to eat better, and he was so fat he fell off backwards and broke his neck. Nope. Wouldn't those things have been predominantly upon the mind of an average woman? Yes, but we're not talking about an average woman. We're talking about this specific woman who knew to name her child Ichabod. There is no more glory. The era of Eli is over and finished. The era of the tabernacle is finished. Shiloh is fixing to be left. God's going to leave Shiloh and it's going to proceed on and eventually wind up in Jerusalem. And her mind was upon the glory of God. There was nothing that could cheer her up. You've had a son. She didn't remark. She had no, but she answered not, neither did she regard it. Made it, gave it no mind, gave it no thought. She didn't regard it. They might as well not have said it as far as the effect upon her. But dear soul, there was a birth. There was a child born at this time. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 17. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. That's Hophni and Phinehas. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. There's some hope. There's some hope. The death of Ms. Phinehas was not encouraged by the birth natural. And she just named him Ichabod. He's mentioned one more time on the pages of God's book, but it's only naming his brother. His brother, so-and-so, Ichabod's brother, it says. But dear soul, listen. The birth naturally did not have any encouraging effect upon her. But here is a birth that is going to return the glory to Israel. His name was Samuel. Verse number 26 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. It says of Christ in Luke 2:52 that the child grew, Christ Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. It says the same thing about Samuel. Yes, the glory of God is departed from religion in America. But dear soul, I'm not depending upon physical birth and physical generation. I am dependent upon a birth, and there was a birth already that had occurred and was already growing up among them that Eli and Phinehas and Hophni were doing everything they could to pollute and to mock and disregard him. But he was God's little man, and he was born by the mercy of Almighty God to a woman that seemingly her womb had been shut up. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 19, and they arose, Hannah and her husband arose up in the morning after they had been there to observe the sacrifices and offerings of God as their custom was, and they rose up early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, biblically knew, sexual relationship. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and dear soul, this next phrase in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 19 gives you the understanding of what we're talking about. And the Lord remembered her. Elkanah's other wife could get pregnant with ease, and it just grieved Hannah to death. And Elkanah, being a normal man, he said something that just plumb dumb, but he thought it was great. He said, "Aren't I as much to you as 10 children?" "Well, listen, sir, when a woman gets to wanting to having a baby, there ain't nothing going to appease her except having a baby. You don't understand it because you're not a woman. But it says, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass," this is 1 Samuel 1:20. "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel." So, and his name means "ask of God." Anytime you see the letters E-L in anybody's name, that has to do with God. Samuel, ask of God. She calls her son Samuel because she asked him of God. And Miss Phineas called her son Ichabod because the glory of God was departed. You have two births here, one set against the other. And dear soul, that which is born of the flesh is being flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is being spirit. So we have all of this, this flesh birth in the religion in America today, and the glory of God is departed. But there is a birth. There is a young child. "This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest." What is God's highest glory? Peace and goodwill on earth to men. Men in their hearts are going to have goodwill and peace from God because of this birth. "Nicodemus, you must be born again." "I don't know what that means." And he didn't. He was being honest. He didn't know anything about the new birth. But dear soul, here we have one birth pitted against the other birth. Phineas's baby, Ichabod, the glory's departed. Hannah's baby asked of God, and the Bible said Samuel did let none of God's words fall to the ground. And everybody in Israel from Beersheba to Dan knew that he was God's man. And the glory of God returned, and the glory of God was brought back. And this new birth brought them hope where the old birth made them understand and see that their formal religion, that they were just considering the Ark of God to be a necessary piece of furniture for them to practice their religion with, that was Ichabod. It had killed them. It killed their daddy, Eli. It killed their wife, Miss Phineas. It killed Hophni and Phineas. God killed them all because they were abomination to God Almighty, and they were using their religion to fatten themselves up and to take God's portion unto themselves. Dear soul, such is the hireling, the man that's hired to preach the word of God. He tells his wife, said, "You know, this larger church over here has called me and wants me to come over and be their preacher. And boy, the salary is a whole lot better." He said, "I'm going to go upstairs and be praying about this. You be packing." He wants that money. But the man of God will preach the word of God, not just for the people's sake, but for the glory of God, and because God has called him to do so. You can't stop him from preaching. He will go over on Saturday morning and preach to a bunch of empty benches so that it can be taped and recorded and put on YouTube or on sermon audio, so that people who have a desire to hear or see can see or hear it, and they are not without the word of God, because he's a true man of God. It depends upon the birth. And it came to pass, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." Isn't that good? Isn't that good? And she said, Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And she did. Every year she made him a little coat and took it up to the temple, up to the tabernacle, and gave it to him. And Samuel had to live in the midst of them ungodly men. Had to break Hannah's heart knowing that her son was involved with them ungodly people, but she stuck by her word, and God honored her, and he brought back the things of the Lord, the glory of God, because of this birth. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Everything God said, Samuel heard it. He answered Eli one time. He heard God call him, Samuel, Samuel. He didn't know who that was. He jumped up out of his bed, run in there, and woke up Eli and said, you call me? He said, no, go back to sleep. Happened again a time or two, and Eli said, uh-oh, I think the boy's hearing the voice of God. So Eli said, probably one of the few things that Eli did that was good, he said, go back to bed, and when the voice comes again and calls your name, say, here am I, Lord, speak to me. And he did, and it was God. And from that point on, Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. These people that had been reporting to Eli, your sons are laying with the women in the door of the temple. They're taking our offerings and cutting them up and taking the best pieces for themselves. And the offering of the Lord comes to be abhorred in Israel because of your sons. But they knew that when Samuel came along, he was established. From the northernmost boundary of Israel to the southernmost boundary, everybody knew that he was established to be a prophet of God, not just a priest, because the priesthood had failed, and now it turns to the prophet. Verse 21, this is a glorious verse. 1 Samuel 3:21, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Isn't that glorious? The Lord appeared again. Why? Because of Samuel. What ended the priesthood of Eli? A birth of a son named Ichabod. The glory hath departed. A woman understood and knew that the ark represented the glory of God. That's what her whole focus was on. But how did the Lord appear again? The birth of a son, of a godly woman that prayed and knew what it was to be barren and asked God to help her. And God did, and it said her husband came in unto her and the Lord remembered her. You got to have both of those things. And she brought forth a son and named him Ask of God, Samuel. And the Lord appeared again. Dear soul, let me tell you something. These ungodly births of birthing into false religion in America, it may be named after your denomination and it may be that which you were brought up with, but it's not of God. Sound of godliness. It said a tinkling cymbal. There's nothing to it. A form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. And you begin to grow up in the household of God, and you begin to see that the foes are those of your own household, and they don't have an understanding of God like you do. Don't be in despair. There is another birth. There is another birth. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, there is another birth. Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. You may be disappointed with your physical brother and sister. You may be disappointed with your physical family. But dear soul, there is a family of God. There is another birth. In verse number 35, the angel is speaking unto Mary. She said, how can these things be, seeing I know not a man, in John 1:34. Listen to John 1, no, I'm sorry, Luke 1:34. Listen to Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, that holy one, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Dear soul, there is another birth. There may be an Ichabod in your world today. And truly the glory of God has departed from America. Truly we are in the throes of the little season of Satan going forth and to deceive the nations. Truly our nation is flooded with liars. And God said, without are liars. And God hates seven things. And one of the first things he said is a lying tongue. Never seen so much lying going on. And blatantly so, just right in your face. They know they're lying, but they don't care. They lie anyway to get what they want. But don't be in despair. There is Ichabod, yes, but there's another birth. There's one who is asked of God, and God will appear again unto us. And in Luke 7, in verse 28, the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 28, for I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Of all those who were born of women, not Elijah, not Isaiah, not Ezekiel, not Jeremiah, there has not been a greater prophet born of a woman than John the Baptist. Listen, you're going to like this. This is Luke 7:28. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. You say, well, I'm nothing. Then you're greater than John the Baptist. You say, I'm the least in the kingdom of God. Are you born again? Yes. John is said to be born of woman. Great prophet. But that little old infant child of God that was born of the Spirit, that was quickened by the mercy of Almighty God, that foolish thing and base thing, the despised thing, God hath chosen that no flesh should glory in his presence. And that little old child of God that is born of the Lord, that is just believing God by faith, he's greater than John the Baptist. He's the greatest in the kingdom of Almighty God. Turn on over to the next chapter, next book, Luke, and then comes John. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. And in John 3:6, Jesus says to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You're going to have Ichabod if that's all you got. And that which is born of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, will always be spiritual. That's your Samuel. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind blows where it wills. You don't know where it comes from, where it goes. All you can do is hear the sound thereof. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Ain't God good? Isaiah chapter 7, the book of Isaiah, chapter 7. There it is, the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, and verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. a virgin, not going to be born of the flesh, going to be born of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee, and that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Highest. Dear soul, everything in this world that is born of man can be Ichabod and be of a trouble and be a hurtful to your soul. But you got one you can look to and say, he wasn't born of flesh. There is, this shall be a sign unto you. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and guess who he is? Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Isaiah chapter 9, in verse number 6. For unto us a child is born. Was he born of a woman? Yes, he was a child born. But what does the next phrase say? Isaiah 9, 6. Not only a child is born, but unto us a son is given. What? Certainly he was a child born of the Virgin Mary. But it was because he was the Son of God that was given unto us. He was born of a woman, but he was the Son of God already. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And you see Luke 15 and verse 5, Jesus coming back with a sheep upon his shoulder that was lost. God has provided the government, ordination of God's will for your life to be upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ. And his name shall be called Wonderful. You ever had such a blessing from God as you ride down the road by yourself and just say, Lord, you are so wonderful? There it is. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. Lord, I don't know what to do. This one says this and that one says the other. You don't need advice, you need revelation. Who do you get it from? Counselor. This is the way, walk ye therein. He is called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's who Jesus is. That's what we have. The child is born, a son is given. Let's go back to Luke. Luke chapter 2. And verse number 10. Luke 2:10. You don't mind if we just read some scriptures, do you? Luke 2:10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, not just to Israel. I don't have to take a plane ride over to Tel Aviv and try to become a citizen of the nationality of Israel. Dear soul, it shall be to all people. Stay right where I am. God come to you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. That means the Anointed One. Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. What does that mean? Strips of cloth wrapped around him. Swaddling clothes. Lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. The glory has returned. The glory has returned again to Israel when Samuel was called. And all Israel from Beersheba to Dan knew that Samuel was established to be a priest. No, a prophet. That's when the priesthood ended and they began to come the age of the prophets. Shiloh is going to end and is going to move to the king there in Jerusalem. Dear soul, do not despair. You can't catch God off guard. You can't blindside God. He don't have any blind sides. It doesn't matter how dark it gets. When the world started, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and they said, let there be light. 400 years between Malachi and Matthew, there's not a word spoken by God. But suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest. Dear soul, it doesn't matter how dark it gets. The dawning always is birthed upon the darkness of the previous night. God always brings light out of darkness and not reverse. The darkness is here. You say, well, that gives me great hope. What? Yes, it gives me great hope. Why? Because if there's one called Ichabod, then there's also one called Samuel, who was already birthed and was already there and was already waiting to step in his place once God killed Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, and poor old Phinehas died also. And when Samuel began to his reign as a prophet, there was already a young boy of the grandson of Eli, whose name was Ichabod. Dear soul, I don't care if you find Ichabod among America. You can find Jesus among everybody. It's amazing. It is amazing. In John chapter 8, verse 44, we're going to hurry to close. You've been so patient. I appreciate you entering into this message. John chapter 8, verse 41. Jesus talking to the scribes and Pharisees. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said, if God was your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Why, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Dear soul, the truth is very unpopular in this world today, but it doesn't make any difference. I'm going to keep on preaching the truth, because darkness is in trouble when the light begins to appear. The book of Romans chapter 9, let's finish out with this. Romans 9. Verse 10, when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Dear soul, God has a purpose. God has a plan, and it's found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we understand, dear soul, that that which is born of God sinneth not. And that God, you can't be unborn. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Thank God for the eternal Son of God that has been given to us. We praise his holy name and thank him for his goodness. Don't you despair. There may be liars on every hand. There may be those who are Ichabod. But dear soul, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's already there. Brother Bobby, you come on and give us a song. Thank the Lord for your prayers.
Amen.